You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up tonight after 7, it's investigative reporting with Reveal. This week, next to the air we breathe, it's the planet's most precious resource, fresh water, and it's disappearing. Find out more tonight after 7 on Reveal here on the Ideas Network.
First, according to an updated study from the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, Wisconsin is one of the worst states in the country for racial disparities.
These disparities range from high unemployment rates, lower income rates, to a lack of educational opportunities. Wisconsin also has disproportionate rates of incarceration among African Americans.
Laura Dresser is with us. She's the Associate Director for COWS, formerly known as the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. Laura, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Well, Laura, overall, how does Wisconsin stack up in this latest report when it comes to racial disparities in the state?
Well, it's a pretty grim picture. If anybody's been paying attention to racial inequality, then you would know that Wisconsin regularly ranks among the worst in the nation on all kinds of indicators, from unemployment to income to educational outcomes to incarceration. We've updated the data, and that picture is pretty consistent. So pretty bad news across the board in terms of the distance between the Black and white population.
And you say in the report, as you say here, that it is bad news, but you also say that these numbers are not inevitable. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, one of the things I think, there's kind of two inevitabilities that people think. One is, if you tell people that there's racial inequality in the state, they sort of will think, well, that's true everywhere. And what part of what this report does is point out is, no, it's actually worse in Wisconsin. But the other inevitability thing that people don't know is that in 1979, for example, it wasn't worse in Wisconsin. In Wisconsin in 1979, African-American outcomes were above the national averages, not well below them. And so the disparity was much smaller in 1979. The restructuring that has happened to the Wisconsin economy has disproportionately driven that wedge apart and left African Americans further behind whites.
So given that that change, clearly something has shifted in Wisconsin. So let's start out by looking at the economic numbers, starting with unemployment. What did you see there?
Well, in unemployment, 10% of the Black population in the state reports that they are actively seeking work and cannot find work. So when you hear talk of how low unemployment rates are, and they are generally around 4% or just below, that's true of the overall population. But the black unemployment rate is nearly three times higher. And again, there's only two states, Connecticut and Minnesota, where the ratio between the Black unemployment rate and the white unemployment rate is so wide, is wider than our disparity.
As we go along, we'll see as we talk through some of these numbers that Minnesota often comes up as a state where it's also not a great picture with a lot of these measures that we're discussing. Sometimes Minnesota's a little worse. Have you drawn any parallels to what's happening in Minnesota and Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting question and a hard one. In many ways, Wisconsin, the performance over the last 30 years of the state of Minnesota is much more dynamic. The income numbers are better. The general economic measures tend to have diverged from the state's economic measures, from Wisconsin's. And so that puts Minnesota on a higher platform in a lot of ways if you look over the last 10 years or so. But they also, as you point out, generate a lot of inequality between Black and white populations. And I don't have a single answer for that. I know that most of the answers in Wisconsin are driven out of the economic restructuring in Milwaukee and the Lakeshore. The majority of the Black population in the state lives in Milwaukee or just south of Milwaukee. And the inequality that grew there in manufacturing really, I think, started much of the force that pushed this giant divide between whites and blacks in this state. That story, I'm sure, is not the same in Minnesota. It's never had a manufacturing core the way Milwaukee did, but I don't know if it is, I don't know the story there as well.
So when you talk about restructuring in Milwaukee, are you talking about a disappearance of manufacturing jobs in general in Milwaukee, or that African Americans were somehow pushed out of that manufacturing job market?
I think there's a few things going on with manufacturing in Milwaukee. One is that Milwaukee manufacturing declined. There are fewer jobs in the city than there used to be. And the jobs that exist are not as often the higher wage union jobs. African Americans in Milwaukee did get into higher wage manufacturing union jobs, but as more recently hired cohorts, as that sector, as manufacturing declined and those union shops declined, then the last hired were the first let go. So I think they were on the front edge of the shrinking of that industry. And then as well, a lot of manufacturing sits just outside the city of Milwaukee, and there's very serious problems, both in practical terms in transportation, but also in terms of the kind of heavy segregation of the community and the resistance of white communities to black workers coming in. And so then there was a set of jobs outside of the central city that workers were either by transportation or by more structural racism could not get to those jobs. And then also the most dynamic growth in the Milwaukee region has been outside in jobs, has been outside the city. And so then those opportunities have also been hard to get to.
Laura Dresser is with us right now talking about a new report that details racial disparities in Wisconsin. She's the associate director for COWS, formerly known as the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. And Laura, let's look at another measure in your report, labor force participation. What do you see there?
Well, Wisconsin's a state of a lot of labor force participation, and so you see pretty high levels of labor force participation in the state. But the black rate of labor force participation is lower, significantly lower than the white rate. And so that disparity, again, we're always measuring the disparity. And in Wisconsin, we end up looking good because the white population in the state does pretty well relative to national averages. Generally, the black population in the state does pretty poorly relative to national averages. That means our disparity is big. Anyway, so that disparity is that African Americans, about 6 in 10 are in the labor force, and whites are much more likely to be in the labor force. And that, in fact, actually, though, if you look at the state of Washington, African Americans are more likely to work than whites. This is one where it isn't always true that the state generates a lower rate of participation for blacks and whites, but Wisconsin, Illinois, Wisconsin and Illinois have the highest disparity between white and black labor force participation, just being working.
And jumping around a little bit, one area where the disparities are not quite as stark, health insurance coverage.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Wisconsin actually has had for, 20 years or more, a very high level of health care coverage. And we have that high level of healthcare coverage because our private system has been pretty well developed. Most employers continue to provide health insurance through their job, through work. But then also our public system was very generous. We were early on getting children included through the CHIP program and other ways. That generosity of the public side has been restricted a bit over the last, over the refusal to accept Obamacare, so not as true now. But anyway, we've always had high rates of healthcare coverage. And in fact, the disparity between white and black isn't as bad either, so that coverage has been meaningful and helps close that gap for the African-American population. Still, this is better because we're not one or two or three worse in the nation, but we're seventh. The disparity is the seventh highest level in the nation, so it's still, in the worst fifth.
And you mentioned that this is an updated report. I mean, are there any signs that the needle is moving in the right direction? A lot of it you said is bad news, but are there any glimmers there?
I think the one that we saw the move the most this year is that, in fact, in 2014, and quite distressingly, the black unemployment rate in the state was the highest in the nation, just in absolute terms. And that isn't true anymore. We're not generating the highest level of black unemployment in the nation. And I think that's a place, seeing that move matters a lot, because the other economic indicators, the poverty, the child poverty, those are all going to hinge back on that employment. And so to see that one move away from the worst in the nation is probably what I thought of as the best piece of news.
We're talking with Laura Dresser right now about racial disparities in the state and what can be done to alleviate them. She's the associate director for COWS, formerly known as the Center on Wisconsin Strategy, which recently released an updated report on this issue.
And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, questions, and maybe experiences. Do you see this gap here in Wisconsin on a daily basis? What do you think accounts for this? What do you think should be done to address some of these disparities economically between black and white people in Wisconsin? What programs have or haven't worked in the state? What do you think we need? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We're talking about racial disparities in Wisconsin and Wisconsin's economy with Laura Dresser, Associate Director for COWS, formerly the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. They just released a new report on the topic.
And we'd like to hear from you. What would you like to see change in the state? How do you think the state should narrow these racial disparities? Are you seeing this at play in your own community? And what do you think could help? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or leave a comment on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller now. We have David joining us in Milwaukee. David, hi.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a lawyer. I own a small law practice. But when we look for employees, it's very difficult to find employees, at least in the Milwaukee area, of color who have the educational background we're looking for. And I started to research the schools in Milwaukee and the suburbs, and I found that almost every school that's underperforming has, as a majority, students who come from a single-parent background or home, I should say. And I found that almost all of the overperforming or performing schools have, as a majority, children who come from two-parent homes. And I'm wondering if we shouldn't be focusing our time, our commitment, our energy to helping build the family structure that seems, at least statistically, to make for better schools, which then in turn could produce students, better students, and employees who may meet the requirements we need in terms of education.
And David, David, thank you so much for your thoughts, and David getting at a line of reasoning other people have brought up as well, looking at the family structure. And I know your report gets into education as well, Laura, but what do you say to David?
I think it's an important point and good one to think about. I think there are really extreme disparities in economic performance. But, of course, a lot of these disparities are tying back not only to family, but also to poverty and the extreme inequality in different communities. And so I know that there have been some attempts to take on issues of strengthening the family. I think it tends to be so intertwined with issues of poverty. I don't think you get to solve the problem when nobody has work and nobody has money. Families isn't the only answer. We need to think hard also about economic opportunity and poverty and how much schools can make up for when the students are coming to school without sufficient food or with stressed and distracted parents, whether it's one or two parents. But the stress in the home and the lack of the ability to kind of support the education from the home comes not only because of the family structure, but also because of the jobs the parents or the parent have, not paying enough to be able to have the parent really engage in the child's education as well. So there's a lot of things going on, obviously. There's not a single answer, but I would look to that whole mix, thinking about poverty, family structure, and parents' jobs and the way parents can engage with school when they're so stressed and unable to make ends meet.
And Laura, your report does look at measures of poverty, median household income, and child poverty. Let's dig in a little there. What did you see?
Well, you know, I think one that's interesting is the median household income, and this is just for all households. So this includes people who work and people who don't work. It includes seniors, and it includes you know, everything is a household. It's just people in living units. So it's not just families, but households. And the median household income in the state is about $55,000. For whites, it's $58,000 annual income. For blacks, it's half that, $29,000. And so strength, and I think most folks who are living close to or below $29,000 know the kind of stress and problems that lower income, if you have kids, can lead to, and the kind of questions about the quality of living, the safety of your neighborhood, the ability to pay for medications, even if you have health insurance, or even engage with health care at all if you don't have health insurance, all that very hard at $29,000 a year. And that is what the median, exactly halfway through the black population, income is. That 50% puts us third lowest, or the third greatest disparity in the nation.
Now, what about metrics of child poverty?
If you look at kids, then you see that the ratio, the disparity between black and white kids, just over 1 in 10 white kids in the state live in poverty. 4 in 10, more than 4 in 10 African-American children in the state live in poverty. So the disparity between the two, black kids are almost 4 times more likely than white children to live in poverty in the state. This is another one where Minnesota is worse, has a higher disparity than we do. But even just going back to that 44%, 4 in 10 kids, black kids in this state are living in poverty, living in situations where getting to the end of the month, getting food on the table, health care, and utilities are all very hard questions, let alone thinking about education.
Laura Dresser from COWS is with us now, talking about racial disparities in the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin struggling in most measures when it comes to disparities, poverty, and jobs and incarceration, all things that Wisconsin needs to work on. And Laura, you were talking about those poverty measures there and how that struggle can impact a family, and that carries over to the educational experience that the kid can have, and how involved the parents can be. And it brings us to how you talk about in your report the need for multifaceted solutions and approaches. What kinds of things do you think would help here?
Well, I think, it is clear there are so many things going on. It isn't an easy silver bullet. If only we took care of this or that, this would all turn around. I think that lesson that back in 1979, this disparity didn't exist. The disparity existed, but we weren't worse than the nation, right? So I don't want to say that that wasn't a problem in 1979. It wasn't that things were equal. It's just that Wisconsin didn't stand out for being more unequal. But that was built on, economic opportunity for African Americans and the wages and quality of jobs that they had. It all, I think, started there. And with, real attention to the economic development of the city of Milwaukee and real attention to the institutions that build the human capital of the people of the city of Milwaukee. Those two things, I think, many people can agree on and are essential to solving this problem. Thinking also about taking on questions of the discrimination that may happen in employers these questions of transportation and people's housing segregation or ability to get to places where work is available, I think is also critical in this state because there is such a legacy of disparity and racism to take on.
And so looking at those first steps, what is one solid first step that you think could happen, maybe policy-wise or at a different level, to help?
I think thinking about what we're doing about the Milwaukee schools matters, thinking about investing in them and trying to make the schools work. I think a lot of people agree on that one. The Milwaukee schools is a central question. The Milwaukee economy and making sure we're building skills among workers who need better opportunities for the best possible jobs. The workforce development system in Milwaukee and the workforce development board and the technical college there, another important place for investment. And then the transportation system in Milwaukee to help people who can't afford cars get to where the jobs are. I would guess maybe somewhere we could start there.
Laura, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Laura Dresser, Associate Director for COWS, formerly known as the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. And she was with us today to talk about an updated report that COWS released about racial disparities in the state and maybe what solutions can be put into place to help to begin to close that gap.
You can read that report from COWS on the Central Time Facebook page.